You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent News, your trusted source for seafood prices, news, and data. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Wise Fish. With over 30 years in the seafood industry, they're powering aquaculture, fisheries, processors, and seafood sales with one integrated platform that makes managing complex operations simpler. Check them out at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent.
We had a bonus episode dedicated to shrimp this week, and I hope you're not shrimped out because shrimp was at the top of the news cycle again this week in many interesting forms. So let's start with the latest update on what's going on with the radioactive shrimp trade alert.
Undercurrent Editor-in-Chief Tom Seaman teased this a bit in the bonus podcast episode that was released on Tuesday, but the source of the cesium-137 contamination has been identified. According to the AP, contaminated metal at an Indonesian industrial site likely caused the contamination that prompted U.S. recalls of more than 61,000 packages of imported shrimp. The International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, reported that Indonesian regulators detected CS-137 at a processing plant operated by Bahari Makmur Sejati, also known as BMS, which shipped millions of pounds of shrimp to the U.S. The radioactive isotope may have originated from a metal melting facility at the same industrial site in Serang, west of Jakarta.
This is a huge development, and with BMS operating multiple facilities in Indonesia, it will also hopefully allow the import alert to be amended for only products shipped from BMS's one impacted plant. But even if the import alert is lifted, one leading Indonesian figure says that the untrue radioactive shrimp narrative being pushed from the top level of government will have a negative impact on all suppliers. Liris Meduningtas, the CEO and co-founder of Jalatech, an Indonesian shrimp aquatech company, told Undercurrent News, "Shrimp cannot be radioactive. We want to make sure that people know it is the radioactive traces found in the containers not coming from shrimp farms. It is not coming from the water. It is not coming from the factory." She explained that while the issue may be impacting BMS and Indonesia more broadly, the reputational damage could hit the whole sector unless the narrative is countered. Which I 100% agree with, especially after hearing U.S. Senator John Kennedy, a Louisiana Republican, speak about imported shrimp at a Senate hearing on water contamination last week. Lauren, I am a daily reader of The Onion, and the news can be very depressing, so I enjoy the humor that The Onion provides. So when I woke up last week and I saw Senator John Kennedy presenting alongside a poster of the creature from the movie Alien, I for sure thought I was looking at something from the satire news site. Spoiler alert, it was not.
It was definitely bizarre. So in a recording from the Senate hearing, which we'll link back to in the show notes, Kennedy acknowledged the image from the 1979 horror movie and said, "This is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw frozen shrimp being sent to the U.S. by other countries."
And it gets worse. Listen to this clip from Kennedy.
"It had a radioactive isotope in it called cesium-137. It'll kill you. Even if it doesn't turn you into the alien if you eat this stuff, I guarantee you'll grow an extra ear."
You know, listening to that sounds so ridiculous that it might actually help the shrimp industry rather than hurt it. Because who could possibly believe that eating this tainted shrimp, that's not even tainted, would make you grow an ear? Like, don't you think we'd be using that technology to grow extra ears and other organs or, you know, limbs? Come on, you know, that's...
But we digress.
In all seriousness, the recalls were all precautionary. Over 300 shipping containers were recalled before reaching consumers. And for those that were distributed to Walmart, Kroger, and other retailers, there were no illnesses reported related to CS-137 contamination.
Liris told Undercurrent that it's an isolated incident in one batch from one factory. "People have to know that," she said, explaining that the whole narrative is very damaging and can really damage the whole shrimp business, not just Indonesia. In fact, she said that Indonesia does not have a nuclear power industry, so this whole thing is something that's alien to them. No pun intended there. Indonesian executives told Undercurrent that over 600 Indonesian shrimp farming businesses have had their market access drastically reduced after the U.S. redlisted the BMS plant. The good news is that Indonesia's nuclear regulatory agency has found the radioactivity sites and sealed them off, according to a report from the news service Mangabay.
Now it's just a waiting game to see if the import alert will be modified to specify the one impacted facility. And I'm also curious what this whole situation does for shrimp imports down the line, but we'll have to wait there as well, as there's a delay on the import data, which the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, provides.
But we do have the latest U.S. import numbers for shrimp, which is for July of 2025. The U.S. imported just over 72,350 metric tons of shrimp worth $595.5 million in July. That's 18% more volume and 24% more value than July of 24, according to NOAA's data. Undercurrent's Jason Huffman reports that it was the ninth straight month of year-on-year increases dating back to November of 24. India, of course, holds the number one spot with over 30,000 tons of shrimp valued at over $245 million. Ecuador sits in the number two spot with just over 18,000 tons, valued at nearly $131 million. And Indonesia rounds out the top three with 4,600 tons, valued at $104 million. Now joining us to share some additional insights is Undercurrent's principal price analyst, Gary Morrison.
Thanks, Lauren. So yeah, July shrimp imports are out and they were up 18%. For year over year, and we continue to see that trend continue. Through the first 7 months, U.S. shrimp imports are up about 20%. But it's not only about shrimp imports. It's not about, you know, having shrimp here. It's having the right type of shrimp, the right sizes, and the right forms for what the U.S. consumer wants. And we're really starting to see this play out in the U.S. wholesale market. The U.S. consumer is driven by convenience, so they want peeled, cooked and breaded, those forms where it's really easy and quick to make. So we're seeing, you know, specifically those forms shift higher quicker. Now, most people would think that Ecuador has some sort of advantage, especially in the P&D, the peeled and deveined type, given the fact they have a lower tariff than most of these Asian source countries. But that's just not the case. I mean, they are at full capacity, so they can only offer a little bit more than that, what they have been over the course of the last few years. I mean, they're growing and they've been growing prior to tariffs. This is accelerating it, but it's just not feasible to, you know, put a plant, a processing plant, and put the capital investment in quickly. And really, because of that, they're pushing prices right up to the tariff ceiling that Asian source countries are at. And if you look at the U.S. wholesale pricing for, you know, for instance, a 1620, a 2125, or a 2630 P&D tail on, both from Asian origin or Latin origin, they're at parity and the prices are the same. I mean, they're not giving an inch, the Latin producers. They're going right up to where the Asian source countries' tariffs are. Then you talk about things like black tiger shrimp, where really you can only source from Asia. So again, these Asian partners are going to be an important source of shrimp for a long time. It's going to take some time to really alter capital investment, expertise, and partnerships, right? I mean, having a relationship for so long is really important in the industry. So, you know, while shrimp imports are up, you know, we are seeing cost structures go higher and we're resetting to a new equilibrium almost weekly. And it's really going to see the effect in Q4 when some of these, you know, later data is coming out and see how the consumer can really absorb these higher prices.
I'm also curious, Gary, I noticed that Trump tweeted this week that he's reopened negotiations with India. So that could be a huge gain for us as well, because I know that the U.S. has stopped shipments on the water from coming in. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, not so much stopped, right? I mean, but they're going to be altered. There's higher tariffs at play. It's pretty significant. I mean, you know, as you alluded to prior, they are the number one supplier of shrimp to the U.S. They have various forms and types that you can't source anywhere. So the U.S. consumer is going to have to pay higher prices if the tariffs stay where they are. I think the concern with, you know, a new agreement is what happens to the higher price inventory if a new deal is struck and now tariffs are lowered. U.S. importers will be sitting on this inventory that they're bringing in over the last couple of months and into the whenever this agreement is.
I didn't even think about that. That's insane. Yeah.
That's really what's weighing on importers' mind. It's uncertainty. They can plan if they know what's going on, but they believe that things can change on a whim. So that's really the concern. I mean, everybody wants it lowered, mm-hmm. But so they're altering their buying patterns in anticipation that it will go lower, so that they're not stuck with so much inventory in the United States to move at higher prices. And we saw this right after COVID. You know, we had an influx of shrimp imports at higher prices, and it took almost 2 years for importers to unload them. And the prices just continued to move lower throughout that 2 years to a trough. And I think that's one of the things that is hurting the industry now, because we were at 20-year lows at the U.S. wholesale level, pretty much, on most items, right? We were at multi-year lows. And now, while prices have bounced higher, it's in their mind that prices are expensive. But on a relative basis of history, they're really not that expensive. So I think that's another thing that's hurting, you know, people in their minds, is that we are at such low prices, you know, recently, that we've bounced off them to these levels now.
And you can check out a further deep dive from Gary. We'll link back to that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Gary. Aquaculture is evolving fast, and managing fish farming alongside processing, sales, and logistics means handling complex data daily. WiseFish offers an integrated platform built specifically for aquaculture and seafood businesses. It collects data from farms, linking biological and financial insights so you can track costs and yields clearly. The system captures, for example, feed and medication usage, biomass increase, mortality, labor and equipment costs to give a full picture of profitability. It also supports planning across harvest, sales, and deliveries, helping you make smarter decisions with accurate, up-to-date information. By replacing spreadsheets and siloed systems, WiseFish reduces manual work and errors, freeing time to focus on growth. Whether scaling or optimizing workflows, WiseFish helps improve efficiency and control costs without disrupting your existing systems. Learn more at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent. We just heard from Gary about what's going on in the shrimp market. Lauren, what about your markets? Are you seeing anything similar there?
So let's jump into salmon first. The U.S. wholesale market is showing a split picture in week 37, with Chile and Norway heading in different directions. So starting with Chile, fresh fillets edge slightly lower, down about 5 cents a pound across the 2 to 5 pound D-trim sizes. Importers are already looking to next week's holiday in Chile, which will shorten production to about 2 to 2.5 days. And add some caution to the market. On the frozen side, fillets are also slipping about 5 cents, and portions remain a bit choppy. 4 ounces are very short, while 6 to 8 ounce portions are coming under some pressure as more supply hits the market. Now, looking at Norway, it's a very different story. Prices are surging, with US wholesale prices seeing a significant jump. The main driver here is China. So Chinese buyers are pulling hard on larger fish, and that demand is rippling through the global markets. On top of that, we've got some weather-related transport issues in Norway. Chile's holiday is pushing more demand into Norwegian product right now, and there's limited availability out of Canada, which is all amplifying this upwards movement on Norwegian product. So even with harvest expected to increase in the weeks ahead, availability seems tight and buyers are cautious about how much this price surge will stick. And for East Coast Canada, U.S. wholesale price assessments are temporarily paused. Trade volumes are just too thin to establish representative benchmarks right now. And that's because producers have been grappling with sea lice and mortality issues recently. Cook Aquaculture even filed an emergency request to bring in U.S. flagged delousing vessels, which gives you a sense of how challenging conditions are right now. So overall, the U.S. market heads into mid-September a little bit unsettled for the salmon markets. As far as ground fish, we are highlighting haddock this week. So U.S. prices for both single and twice frozen haddock moved up again in week 37. That keeps values historically high, with sellers pointing to limited availability out of both China and Iceland. So spot volumes are thin and there's not much relief on the horizon. Globally, the story gets a little bit more interesting. The gap between Russian and Norwegian head and gutted haddock is really tight right now. And that narrow difference has allowed Russian raw material, which is processed in China and shipped to the US, to play a key role in supply. But that channel closes January 1st of 2026, when NOAA's Marine Mammal Protection Act rule kicks in. So after that, Russian-based haddock products can't come into the US, large importers are already planning around that, pulling forward orders and leaning more heavily on Norwegian supply. Even with Norway's proposed 18% quota increase next year, prices are expected to stay supported because compliant supply is getting more concentrated. Add in the long lead times for processing and shipping, and you've got a real sense of urgency building in this market.
Thanks, Lauren. And again, you can find further details in our show notes. All right, let's go back to talking about shrimp.
No.
No, it's okay. We've moved on to the fun stuff for the week.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness.
When I say Red Lobster, you say...
Cheddar Bay Biscuit Fanny Pack.
I was going to say, when I say Red Lobster, you say Endless Shrimp. But yes, always on my mind, the insulated fanny pack.
So, wait. Endless Shrimp is back?
Not quite, but close. Spend Less Shrimp.
What is Spend Less Shrimp?
It's three favorites, one plate, $15.99. Get in the car, Lauren.
Tell me more.
So you got garlic shrimp scampi, shrimp linguine Alfredo, and popcorn shrimp with Chesapeake fries.
Sold.
It's a clear pivot away from the infamous Endless Shrimp offer, which allowed unlimited refills for $20. And that promotion contributed to the $11 million in losses and was cited in court filings ahead of Red Lobster's Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Minor details, Amanda. Minor details.
And Red Lobster's new CEO, he has said before that he knows how to do math. That's a quote. And so he would never bring back the Endless Shrimp promotion for $20. But he's still happy to try to give customers what they want. So he said in a statement that since stepping into this role, I've gotten questions about Endless Shrimp. Is it coming back? What really happened with the promotion? And he said, it's time we officially turn the tides. It may not be endless, but you'll definitely spend less.
I am 100% on board with that.
Agreed. A much needed shrimp win. Now, I've got one last story for you, Lauren, and it's got to do with Trump.
Oh, boy.
And his go-to seafood.
All right. I'm listening here.
Okay. So on Tuesday, the president made his way to his first documented visit to a restaurant in the district since taking office in January. And the restaurant that had the honor of hosting him was an establishment called Joe's Seafood. So the White House press secretary told CNN that Trump and his team enjoyed crab, shrimp, salad, steak, and dessert. And according to CNN, Trump has privately said that Joe's has the best stone crabs.
Road trip to see for ourselves?
You know, I've never had stone crabs, have you?
I don't think so, but I feel like I should have.
But also interesting is that Trump's party ate shrimp. And I checked out the Joe's Seafood website, and while the menu features items like shrimp cocktail and crab stuffed shrimp, shrimp pasta, crispy fried shrimp, it doesn't specify the origin of the shrimp or whether it was farmed or wild caught. So perhaps no one from Trump's party paid any attention to Senator Kennedy and his aliens.
One could only hope. Well, that does it for us this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next Friday.
From Row to Plate, Wise Fish supports seafood businesses across aquaculture, fisheries, processing, and sales with one integrated platform. Trusted by companies around the world like Tassel, Niels Spare, and others, Wise Fish helps control costs, improve margins, and enable smarter financial decisions, replacing spreadsheets and siloed systems. Learn more at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent.